Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive. Hey, you tuned in for another great episode. I am so glad you're here. Today, we get to talk with Chris Strayer, who is a Senior Vice President of Business Attraction, Expansion, and Retention at the Fort Worth Chamber of Commerce. Chris has energy for days, and he dives into what is creating such an influx of projects in his region, where he sees deal flow going over the next year, and how the future of in-office work will be affected going forward. He shares insights into what has kept him motivated in such a difficult year, and his nuggets of wisdom are not only relatable, but extremely energizing. So Carla, take it away.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the America's Jobs Team, powered by Consultant Connect. I'm Carla Solms, and I am thrilled to be doing this next interview. One of my favorite economic developers is with us on the podcast today. So Chris Strayer, thank you for being with us. Chris comes to us from the Fort Worth Chamber, but we're going to dive in and kind of ask you, Chris, to give us a little bit of a speed version on how you got into economic development and how you got down to Fort Worth.
Yeah, it's an interesting ride, right? So my degree is in city planning. So I had an economic development class in college, one, but my real background's in civil engineering and construction. You know, I worked for a civil engineering national group in college and then also after college. And so cut my teeth doing that. But then from there, I went to, you know, local government. And so that's really where it was. That first local government I worked for back in Ohio, the superintendent came to me one day and he was saying, you know, we got all this tremendous, you know, residential growth, but it's not supporting the school district. So he said, we need some more, you know, industrial and commercial. And I went to my council and I said, can I try this economic development thing and see how it works out? And there you go. Ever since then, I've just been, you know, going to different communities and helping, you know, grow jobs and grow the community. How did I get to Fort Worth? You know, they asked me. It's pretty much as simple as that. You know, I was at Columbus 2020 with Kenny and Matt McQuaid and all those great folks and loved being there. Loved Columbus. You know, I'm from Columbus and a really great community. But this was an opportunity for leadership and this was an opportunity to go to a growing community. And, you know, it's Texas, you know, and so there's just all kinds of opportunity and growth and things happening here. And so it was time, you know, to try something different. And it was, you know, wanted to get someplace and the kids were young. And so my wife and I decided that if we're going to do something, better do it now.
Yeah. Well, that is awesome. So, and I know you kind of talked about Texas and some of the big things happening there and it's just kind of booming, but I know it has also been kind of booming in Fort Worth and I feel like the rest of the world has been in a pandemic and not to say Texas hasn't, because I know you have too, but it feels like job announcements kept rolling. It just didn't feel like you down in Fort Worth, like it didn't slow you down. Like talk a little bit about what's happening down there that you think is kind of driving a lot of the growth.
Well, it's obviously me. I mean, no.
Clearly. So just needed leadership.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, DFW, Texas, I mean, we're growing like crazy. And so what's the first thing, you know, pre-COVID? What was the first thing everybody was asking about? Workforce. And you know, when you're growing at 400 people a day, you know, you're going to get a lot of looks. And so that's just what it is. We have been successful, you know, and we have been successful in COVID. You know, we announced two corporate headquarters. We announced all kinds of manufacturing projects. Our pipeline and the amount of RFPs that are coming into us increased by 50% during COVID. And so in 2019, we had 82 projects come in. In 2020, we had 121 come in. And we've had to this point, you know, here we are, you know, a week or two into March, we've had over 40. You know, come in to this point. So we just continue to get things to come in and a lot of industry and things like that. But we just get a lot of looks. We're center mass of the country. We can, you know, pull from California. We can pull down from Chicago. You know, it's just it's a good thing. And it's a good community to be in as well. You know, very vibrant, you know, quality of life, but then also the business community getting involved in what we're doing.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I want to hear a little bit from you. I was going to ask you a question kind of about your deal flow, but you kind of, you talked a little bit about that and just the fact that you didn't really, you saw an uptick actually in the deal flow, and you're already started out to a great year. But what do you think once everybody is vaccinated or we're further along in that vaccination process, do you feel like you're going to have even more of an uptick? Like, do you see it continuing to go up as the year progresses, or what are kind of your thoughts 6 months from now?
So industrial has always been strong for us, and a lot of the primary industries, you know, they never stopped. And so I don't think the vaccination really does much for me in the industrial space, because we're going to still see things unless you were American Airlines or, you know, directly, you know, associated with the airline industry. You know, those folks got hit, and obviously the retailers. The office space is what we're kind of looking at. You know, what do those office projects look like? Because everybody just kind of kicked the can down the road in 2020, didn't really want to make a decision, didn't want to break any leases or do anything. But now the vaccinations, you know, coming, and now they can really make some hard plans on, okay, do we leave everyone at home? Do we, you know, do we like this? Do we need to come back and expand space? Are we going to consolidate some things? It gives people an idea that time frame now to really look at their footprint and think more strategically about it. So I think that 2021 is going to be a year of planning for those folks, and then 2022 being the year of execution. Mm-hmm. So I would say, you know, again, not typically our office pipeline is 35% of our pipeline, give or take. And now we're down to maybe 20%. I expect that to come back up and get some RFPs in the office side second half of the year.
So what's your kind of prediction about the, you know, kind of state of the office, if you will? I feel like there's so many different thoughts on there out there in terms of what companies will do. And I agree with you. It felt like everybody just kind of was on a like wait and see, but we're starting to see some companies like kind of leave market, or not leave the market, but leave the downtown. So what's kind of your thoughts? Do you think that more people will go to a complete work from home, or are you one of those that feel like they may not have as big of a centralized headquarters and they're going to have like more regional hubs outside of just one major headquarter location, like regional hubs? Like, what are your thoughts?
Well, you ask 10 people, you're going to get 10 different answers. Yeah, everybody's going to make their own decision, you know, because everybody, you know, approached it differently, and everybody has a different comfort level about how, you know, the proximity of their employees, you know, being in the office. I hear a lot about, we need to get back to the office. We're losing collaboration. We're losing relationships with our own people. So there's a lot of that. But there's a lot of them that it's, quite frankly, might be easier to work from home, call centers and things like that. You know, yeah, maybe we don't need, you know, that kind of space. So I think everybody's going to, you know, figure it out. You know, like I said, I've heard people say they're coming back, you know, and I was just on the phone with one of our investors, and he opened his office on Monday and said, back to work, you know, let's go. But then there's a guy in California that I'm working with, technology company, who's moving to Fort Worth, and he's got about 80 people, and he sent them all home. And, you know, during COVID, and he's in California. He's like, he calls me. He's like, I got 25,000 square foot. I really don't need it. He's like, I just made the decision. I'm moving to Texas. And he's like, I'm coming, and I'm going to ask my employees if they want to come too. And so actually 60 out of the 80 are coming, which is awesome. But, you know, his mindset is, you know, I'm going to start off small, have my people still stay, but then, you know, they'll eventually migrate back and we'll just expand from there. So, I mean, it's all over the board.
Yeah, no, it truly is. And I think, you know, I after talking to so many economic developers, I feel like everybody has just, it feels like we're just kind of going around and around and around. Like we're moving, but it's just like theory after theory, and there's no real, like, it's hard to follow what the trend is because it's just shifting so fast.
Right.
How are you staying, like, you're always so positive, and you're always just kind of have that like can do attitude. How are you keeping yourself like in like good leadership shape in terms of your own like mental fortitude and just, you know, your attitude, like with all of the twists and turns of this year and changes, like how are you kind of keeping yourself together?
I'm falling apart. I mean, it's just I don't know, you know, it's just continuing on. You know, I said one of the things early on, we went in, became PPE Central for Fort Worth. And so the first thing we did back in February, when everything really started to go downhill, is we called every member. You know, our staff, we stopped what we were doing. We called everybody, and we have 1,500 members, right? So that was an endeavor. But what we were hearing is it's a challenge, you know, for us to get PPE unless I'm ordering 10,000 masks, you know, I can't get it. So we went out and bought it. And we were going to buy it. But then we had two of our higher, well, I'll tell you, it was Hillwood and Facebook gave us money to go out and buy a bunch of it. So I immediately turned into a, you know, medical supply rep, you know, and organized all of that. You know, that kept me motivated, you know, because we're helping people, we're helping business, we're identifying what they need, and we're finding the solution for it. Mm-hmm. And so it was PPE, and then it was grants, and now it's, you know, and then it was, you know, best practices, you know, on how to do things, you know, all of these things that we were doing, that was the motivation, helping companies, helping people, you know, get aligned with jobs if they're being laid off, all of that. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what we're doing, right? Is we're just helping people improve their lives and creating a better economy for them so they can be successful in their lives and the professional careers and their families and whatnot. And so that's really it. You know, that's how I keep myself motivated, is knowing when I get up, I'm doing something that's helping somebody else.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think it's so important to just kind of think about like what you're doing today and what the ultimate outcome is, because the actual work, like you said, like the day to day might look different, but if you're on mission, you can still get so much joy and satisfaction from serving that mission. And it doesn't have to be the same day to day work. It could be very, very different work serving the same mission and still get that joy. That's such a good reminder. So I have to ask you this question, because I feel like you've had just a really incredible career. You have a lot of people who are always cheering for you. You're just so well respected in the industry. So I'm going to ask you a tricky question. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. So I want you to go back in time to when you first started in economic development, maybe when you first started at Columbus 2020, now One Columbus. I don't know when it is, but I'm sure that there was a pivotal moment early on in your career where you wish you could kind of go back and give yourself advice. And I'm curious to know what advice you would give yourself.
What are you thinking? You know, I don't know. You know, it's a great question, but I don't know, you know, because every decision I've made and everything that I've done, you know, I'm not ashamed of, you know, I've had a lot of fun. I've been in, you know, four different careers, you know, and so it's been interesting for me, but I think the path that I've led myself down, I'm in a great place. You know, I'm in a great community, great team around me, great, you know, chamber, and really enjoying what I'm doing. So I don't think I could go back and, you know, really say anything. I know that's probably a bad answer, but that's what I got.
No, that's great. So another question for you, and then we'll let you get back to your day job, serving the Fort Worth area. But I want to talk a little bit about mentorship, because you've had the opportunity to sit under some of the best around. And what role has mentorship really played in your kind of career?
Yeah, huge, huge. I've tried to surround myself with mentors from day one in my career at the engineering company, you know, at the local level, you know, Jim Schimmer was a mentor of mine, Kenny, obviously. You know, there's a lot of folks that I have surrounded myself with that I keep in regular contact with that I know that I can go and bounce ideas off. You know, how should I be thinking about this? You know, and so I think it's an incredibly important, you know, thing for anyone in the industry, whether you're, you know, new or me, you know, or whatever. You keep, you know, surround yourself. Don't pick one, pick several, you know, and because everybody's going to bring a different look and feel to, you know, what your concerns or what your questions are. And so ask those questions, you know, and surround yourself with people that you trust and that, you know, you can go to and ask them some hard questions or just get advice from.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. You're always just so full of energy and insight and just good nuggets of information. I feel like you're just a trusted source of good, all things economic development. So thank you for taking time. I know you had a really crazy, crazy week and you squeezed us in, and we are so grateful. And I hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.